You are welcome to the joy of Easter Day. Alleluia. Hallelujah. It's really fun writing words to 17th, 18th century music that really thrills the soul. So welcome everyone. Kia ora tātou. It's good that you're here today, and a very good metaphor that we have a sunny day outside for Easter Sunday after the terrible weather that we've had up until now. So enjoy. There's morning tea afterwards, tea and coffee. And I'd like to say to the person who brought the chocolate cake with the red heart in the middle, if you don't want us to eat it, you should go and rescue it now. No one was quite sure if it was for us or for something else, but we think it's for us, so we're going to eat it. So it's good to be here. It's good to celebrate and be joyful. Let us pray. The darkness and the horror of Good Friday are behind us, and the waiting of Easter Saturday too. And so on this morning we give joyful thanks and praise for life, for the fact that we are free people. We are loved, we are accepted, and we are free whoever we are, wherever we are going to or from, whatever we believe, whatever we do not believe, we are loved and accepted. And so in the freedom of that, we gather today, praying that we will hear the message that is for us on this happy day. The one that will speak to our heart, the one that will whisper to our soul. So may it be. Amen. And we say together on the prayer card, if you were lucky enough to get one, the Jim Cotter version of the Lord's Prayer. Eternal Spirit, earth, pain bearer, source of all that is and that shall be. Strengthen us. Amen. We should perhaps check, is there anyone who can't actually see an order of service? Because we might need to do some redistributing. Is there any rows where there's not an order of service to be seen? No? Good, because the hymns aren't ones you're going to know off by heart, so you might need some words. Okay, we in here, the children here at St Andrews are used to lighting the rainbow candle, which is a symbol of everyone being included, and that includes children. And so they might come, one of them might come and light it, or they might hang back and a visitor might do it, who knows? Angus, how long is it since you've lit the rainbow candle? Is it a long time? I think you should come. How about we do a dual thing? Come on. So if Angus, Ruby, isn't it? Right. It's nice of you to wear a red jacket so I could remember your name. So if Angus lights the taper, gives it to Ruby, look at this masterpiece of cooperation, and she'll light the candle. Well done. Excellent. How about you come and sit in the front? I've got some things to say to you guys. And some of the other children might be brave enough to come up the front and hear the story. Come on. Come on, come on. Be brave. Because there's some pictures that you won't actually see from the back. Any more? Any more? I won't ask you any embarrassing questions, promise. Okay. So I've got three pieces of paper here. And the title of what I'm going to say to you is the Easter story, but I'm not going to talk about the first Easter story. I'm going to talk about another story that I think is very Easterish. You could all shift along a wee bit, and then there'll be more room. That's right. Excellent. Room's opening up all the way. So this says a good thing, okay? This one says waiting. And this one says, bad thing. So what order, if we had a choice, what order do you think these things should go in? What do you think would come first? What would you want to come first? Yep. The good thing first? You'd like the good thing first? Okay, so what then would we have? Yep.
Waiting.
Waiting for the bad thing. The opposite, you think? You'd like the opposite, so what's the opposite? Bad thing, waiting, and good thing. So we end up with a good thing. That would be quite nice, wouldn't it? What do you think, Callum? Yep. Well, think about Easter. We call it Good Friday, but actually it's a bad Friday, isn't it? Because we remember Jesus dying. And then Easter Sunday, Saturday, I bet you didn't stay at home waiting, but there's a kind of a bit of a gap, isn't there? And then today, it's a happy day. And I was thinking that that happens all the time. It just didn't happen on that first Easter. Because up north, there are some people who had a bad thing happen to them. And this is a picture of it. If you can imagine being up in a helicopter, can you see anything wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? What do you think's happened here? Oh, I think there has been a flood. Right, can you see where the flood's, why it's flooding? That's right. Yeah. So where you first had your finger, that's actually the river. This is meant to be the riverbank. But you can see there's a big hole in it. And so the water went rushing through that riverbank into the houses. That's no fun, is it? And see that family there? They've got a little, do you think it's a boy? Is it a boy? And they're feeling pretty sad because their house has got flooded. Here's another picture of water around the houses. And some children below, they look fairly happy. Do you know why?
No school.
That's right. That's right. But do you see that there are people in Viz vests there? And they're escorting them. Why are they having... You don't usually have people in Viz vests walk you all the way from school, do you? So why are they there? Can you see? What's on the road? Pardon? Yeah, because there might be another flood. And can you see? Yeah, there's been a landslide. See the mud? And so they've cleared a path for the children to walk through, but they're just, those guys are there to make sure that they're okay. So that's a really bad thing. And there's a town called Edgecombe where a lot of flooding happened. And the people are just going back into their houses. And of course, they're finding a whole lot of mess. Think about your house right now. And think about whether you've got anything on the floor in your house. Perhaps some of your toys. Anything on the floor at your house right now? So if while you're at church, a flood came through, what would get wet? In my house, quite a lot of things. Quite a lot of things. But so, there was a bit of waiting. They had a flood, and they had to wait, and people were getting very anxious, and they had to go and stay with friends, or they had to go and stay in a church hall or a town hall, which wouldn't be very comfortable, would it? It would be a floor like this. And so they had their period of waiting. And you know, they're not quite at the really good thing yet, because their houses aren't fixed yet. But you know, over 500 people volunteered to help. 500. Now, I don't think there's quite 100 people here today, by the looks, just a quick count. So that's five times the people that are in this room. Five times helped. So there they go. There's a helper. That's on a farm. And there was mud all over the yard. And so they were helping. And in this one, this is a woman's grandson, two grandsons. Helping, so you could go and help your grandparents if they got flooded. And they're putting all the stuff that's been flooded on the trailer. And here's more people. You see they've been given special special white overalls to wear to keep their clothes clean. And sometimes I saw people on TV wearing masks because the mould starts growing really, really quickly. when it's hot and wet. And so here's a story. Here's a picture. Can you see that picture? See how muddy their back doorstep looks? It's because the water's been all up there. Yeah. Anything on your back veranda that might get muddy and wet if there was a flood? But the good news is you only have to shift your things up off the floor or off your back veranda if you know there's going to be a flood. Okay, you don't have to necessarily do it every day. That's good news, isn't it? And so I read this story, which was on the internet, and all the bits that are covered in yellow are bits about the people coming to help. So this woman says, "I said if it ever got into the carpet, I'm out of here," she laughed. But as she spoke, the young men started coming in to rip up the carpet because the carpet was all wet. That's that picture again of those guys at the farm. And here's another one. "Efforts to clean up were in full swing today with the local fire brigade. The fire brigade turned up and these guys just followed the fire brigade to help out." Awesome. So that was a good clue, wasn't it? If you know the fire brigade's going around to pump out people's houses, you just follow the fire brigade and you know that you're going to the places that need help. Here's another bit about the people helping. "Today, they were loaned a trailer and a ute that her 17-year-old grandson was helping to fill. Much of the work was done yesterday with a huge effort from the fire service and locals pitching in to help. From yesterday to today, we've had a huge working bee that's uplifted carpets, cleaned out, moved all the furniture into the garage, and basically the house is empty. The local community efforts have been amazing." Isn't that cool? That's the good thing. And I reckon that we have little Easters all the time. Bad things happen to us, and sometimes we're just knocked flat by them. And there's a bit of a period, a bit of a gap, a bit of a waiting, and then if people like us go and help others and others help us, there's a good thing that comes next. That's really cool, isn't it? So I've got here some paper and some pens and some feathers and some glue and some sellotape. And I wondered if you'd like to write cards to the kids around Edgecombe and we'll post them to them. And you might like to say, "We're sorry to hear your house got flooded." Or, "Happy Easter." Or, "Hope things come right." Whatever you want to write to them. And we'll send them to them. So Pam's here to help, and I haven't cut the paper up, so you can decide whether you do a great big card or a small card or an in-between card. And if you do that, that'll keep you nice and busy during the time till communion. And if you have a little listen, apart from Jasper, who's feeling a bit uncomfortable at the moment, can you hear anyone else making any noise? Can you? No. So while you're here, that's how quiet you'll need to be while the adults do their listening. Okay? Is it a deal? It's a deal. Okay. So we hope that you're going to enjoy making something for us to see later, because we want to see those cards, and that you'll have fun while you're doing it. Okay? And everyone says, "We bless you." Amen. Come and make yourself comfortable.
Gospel reading from St. John, chapter 20, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two young men in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And our contemporary reading is today by Susan Jones. Today, we Christians, yes, us, that stuffy lot, are making the country happy. Well, perhaps not tourist town retailers, but definitely we are making others happy today. They get to have a holiday on this holy day, accompanied by chocolate eggs and other forms of chocolate, which have been woven into the urban legend over the years. This year, a chocolate kiwi in the supermarket aisles. It's right the general population is invited to enjoy, to recreate, to celebrate at Easter, for that is what we celebrate too, the joy, the release, the freedom, chocolate covered or not. Today, we embrace the spirituality of life, thankful we have come through the darkness of death. We are more than only unscathed. Easter reminds us there is transforming power afoot in the world, and if we allow it, it might just transform us. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, we give thanks.
Let us pray. As we ponder the mystery of Easter, may our hearts respond. May our souls be enlightened. May we know. So may it be. Amen. In the weekend section of the Dom Post this Easter, there is an article on how four different women practice their spirituality. The writer chose to interview a Druid, a non-Orthodox Muslim, a humanist and a Catholic, the latter being Joy Cowley, who we know well. It would be interesting to have a conversation about whether those four choices covered all the bases. But there they were, four women looking happy and contented with their spiritual choices. Each option read like a positive addition to life, and all stressed respect for others and particularly the earth in one case. So lay aside this, two comments I heard in 2 days from crime writers, to the effect that because crime writers wrote about the dark side of life and get all that shadow stuff out in their writing, they end up being balanced and sane people themselves. And one Swedish crime writer who sets her books on one of the farthest flung Swedish islands, which has a population of only 89 people in the winter, kind of a self-limiting number of books she's going to be able to write about that. She suggested that the peaceful Sweden, which has not been to war for 200 years, liked to read crime novels because they knew their lives were safe and that the crime was only happening between the covers of her books. So why is the dealing with the dark side of life important in these writers' eyes anyway for a happy life? Where then is the source of spirituality? Is it only an Easter Day kind of experience? Or does a spiritually balanced life need the dark side lurking somewhere within? I was talking with the children about how bad things happening to you are related to their resolution if you're fortunate enough to achieve that. And it would be unrealistic to assume that we could have a life that was only good and fair and sunny. We know that when the land only receives sunlight day after day with no rain, drought results. Churches that preach a prosperity gospel or urge people to acknowledge only the triumphs in their lives miss an important source of the spirituality of life. Even sometimes liberals, in wanting to emphasize the love and acceptance of God, to underline the welcome that's within the heart of the sacred, may find themselves with a marshmallow kind of gospel and wonder why the challenge has gone. I remember when I had ME or Tapu Nui flu or chronic fatigue syndrome, however you've heard it described, for what effectively ended up being 10 years, frequently trying to rise above it to find the resolution, the remedy, the end of the fatigue and the boredom. And when finally improvement came, it still felt like I had been dragged through a gorse bush backwards. It was as if the scratches and tears in my clothing from such a rough ride were still evident in my soul or psyche. The Easter Day resurrection had arrived. I was well enough to work again full time, but it was a victory that carried scars with it. Those scars were a vital part of the transformation from illness to wellness. My experience resonates with that later story of Jesus showing scars to Thomas that makes an important point besides that of the importance of doubt. Resurrection experience inevitably carries the marks of what has gone before. My Good Friday ME experience was relatively short, an unexpected bout of mumps, followed by a 10-year-long Easter Saturday. Some people have longer Good Fridays, shorter Easter Saturdays, and their Easter Sunday may dawn more slowly. But to call Good Friday good is to buy into the faith that tragedy and even death, pain and sorrow can be transformed. I'm not sure whether the four women interviewed for your weekend magazine felt they needed to put the positives of their spirituality or whether the writer emphasised that side of their story. Some negatives of being attached to the Catholic Church were named by the writer and probably by Joy herself, who has a balanced view of life's ups and downs and the depths to which spirituality can take you. But if today's contemporary society is looking for a spirituality which is only ever up, they embrace a false spirituality, and it will not sustain them through all their life experiences. I don't think the source of spirituality, and particularly Christian spirituality, is the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. I think its source, its genesis, its beginning, is actually the tragic confrontation between the ethic, teaching and compassion of Jesus with human beings who could not stand such a bright light searching their lives and their establishment reason, religion. And I believe it's in this dark and violent confrontation between a gentle but determined teacher and a powerful and controlling establishment where we find the source of the spirituality of life. For the source is the moment of the transformation of death into life, of sorrow into joy, of bondage into freedom. The backstory of Pope Francis is a case in point. A movie has already come round the movie theatres, but as I remember it, it really began when he was Archbishop Bergoglio, already transformed from the apparently more authoritarian and rigid priest who'd been auxiliary bishop of Buenos Aires. Another documentary I saw recently suggests that Bergoglio's rigidity against the work of priests in the slums at that stage of his life might have led to their capture and torture at the hands of the military junta. This dramatic experience, this traumatic experience, changed his stance markedly. Later, as Archbishop, he increased the numbers of slum priests and spoke out boldly on social justice issues. Without that hard and risky experience, and without his reflecting on that and allowing the experience to change him, I suggest we would not have the Pope that we have today. The public movie took a less brutally frank stance on his early life as a priest, but I was glad to hear about that early life in the documentary, because a spirituality that's risen like a phoenix from the ashes of a conservatively rigid position is likely to be deeply rooted enough to be sustained in the difficult job that Pope Francis now has of being priest to the whole world. Think back over your life to those events and attitudes from which you have moved, from which you may have indeed travelled far. They are the deep, rich, dark earth within which the seeds of your present spirituality put out first the first tentative roots and shoots, and then the stems and the leaves that now flourish. That is, that will be the case if you tended those seeds, if you watered them and fed them, sheltered them and exposed them to the sun. Otherwise, your life is just a pile of compost. Like the yolk of an egg, the eggs we have pictured on the front of the Order of Service, the seeds planted in the compost of our lives, which lie in the darkness of the tomb of the earth, these seeds are the source of the spirituality which truly enhances life and brings real joy. Without the compost, without the shit that happens in all our lives, these seeds of life cannot grow. When the bad things happen in our life, they are food for growth. In time, whether a short time or a long time, they will grow. And one day we will know the joy of new life. Easter every year tells us this is so. The mystery of how it happens is still a mystery, hidden deep within us, requiring us to trust the source, trust the process, and enjoy the life that comes from both. So may it be. And now in response, we bring our offering of money and food for the needs that the church and others have. If you haven't come prepared with money, don't be embarrassed, just let the basket pass and our offerings will be received. We bring these gifts of money and food, food for those who have little on their pantry shelves, and money for the work of this church so that we may continue to reach out into the city and continue to be able to seek the way of justice in our society. We ask that these gifts be used well by those who have the responsibility for them. So may it be. Amen. Please be seated. Is there anyone with notices today? Would they like to come forward? Yep, one or two. The notices are at the back of the order of service, and I don't think there's anything I want to emphasise except to say that I've decided that the church doesn't talk enough about how good life is and how we should live it joyfully and abundantly, so that's what I'm going to be reflecting on after Easter, and the list is there in the order of service.
We have two very special visitors here today. Dr. James Stewart was the minister here before Margie, and he and his wife Jillian are visiting today, and I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that in case you didn't see them come in, so that you can greet them afterwards. Welcome, James and Jillian.
My name's Richard Owen. A year ago today, Susan married Gabriel and I. We have cake for you.
And it was a very nice occasion. Now, children, we're going to have a flute player, and he's going to be standing right here, aren't you, Dwayne? So, do you think you can freeze while he's playing? Be really, really still so he doesn't get distracted. It's really pretty music. I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to it. Just make some room for him. That's good. I can see some great cards coming up down there. Excellent. Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you. God beyond and within, we come in celebration and hope for the future of the risen Christ, Jesus Christ. We come to celebrate the possibility of love over all else, of love for our enemy, love for our neighbour, love of humour in Fred Dagg's sons called Trev and Getting In Behind, love of song and of dance, of Chuck Berry, of jazz and of Scottish dancing, love of neighbour, the person beside us, behind us, in front of us, and those not here. We give thanks for those in the police, fire service and ambulance, in our hospitals and civil defence, and the volunteers. For those needing help who face flood, storm, and need food and clean water. We pray for peaceful existence between peoples, and in particular, those in North and South Korea, and for justice between peoples, for love to triumph. And from the book, Loving God in All Who Moves and Lives, in the whole world and planet and beyond. We pray for the violent aggression, the violent response to violence. We pray about powerful force and our leaders. We feel helpless. We pray for the people of the forgotten, the refugees in South Sudan, Uganda, Yemen, the malnourished and impoverished peoples of North Korea, the lost girls in Nigeria, the child soldiers. Let peace come, boundless, abundant peace. And we pray for those who have faced or face injustice. May their hope for change and redemption move in them, and justice be achieved. And from our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Angola and the Council of Christian Churches in Angola. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Derek Ball and Mahesh Bindra, list MPs. And here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of the Eltham Kaponga Cooperating Church. And to conclude these prayers, a prayer for St. Andrews. If you're from a different faith community, please use this prayer if you wish for that. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Boy, there's some beautiful things, aren't there? Can I show everyone yours, Kezia? No? Anyone want to show theirs off? You've done a great job, and you were so quiet during the flute solo, I didn't even know you were here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, that's great. So here's one with a Happy Easter egg on it. Oh, and a peacock. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Very nice. And a teddy bear. Thank you. And this one has secrets inside it. Hello, kid. Do you mind me reading it? How I do not know yet. I'm sorry. Who I do not know yet. I'm sorry to hear your house has been flooded from the river. If you can send back, that would be nice. But you do not have to send back because all your paper might be wet from Callum. That's absolutely right, Callum. That's very thoughtful. So there's a teddy bear. Cool Easter dude, says one of them. And one of them's got actually a how to make a sailor's hat. That's nice. Happy Easter with lots of eggs on it. And here's one. There weren't many stars. This person must have found the stars. That's lovely. And one of those, you know, which finger do you want games on the back. And another one with a picture here. They're very, very good. And this one, oh, that's clever, using the blue feathers for the water and a boat on top. And this one has a smiley face on it with a happy Easter. And this one has happy Easter with gorgeous flowers coming up. That'll be nice. And inside, a big basket of eggs. There's a theme here, isn't there? There's a theme here. That is really lovely. Well done. And this one's got a couple of stars on it and more things inside. Very nice. Well done. Thank you very much. That's going to bring some joy when we send them. And we will put a return address in because they might want to come back and talk to us. And where did I put my order of service? Did anyone see me put it down somewhere? Maybe it's in the cards. Could you look through the cards and see if my order of service is there? In there. Anyway, I can say from here that communion is open for everybody. Yes, here it is. Thank you. Communion at St. Andrew's is open, and that means that whoever you are, wherever you've come from, wherever you're going, whoever you are, and whatever you believe and whatever you do not believe, you are welcome at communion this morning. If you still, after that open invitation, do not wish to take communion, just remain where you are. You might need to get out and let people past you. I will be coming around with communion for those who find getting up the front here difficult, so just remain in your seat and signal me as I come around and I can serve you in your seat. But this is God's meal for all people. We're going to sing a hymn now that may not be all that familiar, so Peter is going to play through the verse and chorus. And just watch on the second line of the chorus, the word joy is held on to for longer than you expect. Quite appropriate, actually, for today, if we spend a long time on joy, but just remember that. Please be seated. And God will delight when we're all singing the same words at the same time. That was a wee trick, wasn't it? An Easter Sunday trick. O eternal wisdom, we give thanks, because the beauty of death cannot contain you. Since you, the tomb of our world, has been opened wide. After you lived on this earth, nothing has ever been quite the same again. You offered for the rituals of the dead, the terror of new life and of desire fulfilled. Therefore, with the women who gave you birth, the men and women who befriended you and fed you, who argued with you and touched you, the woman who anointed you for death, the women who met you on a misty dawnlit morning, and with all your lovers throughout the ages, we give thanks, saying, Holy, 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 life-giving God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our grief, and is known again in the breaking of bread, who on the night he was handed over, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, This is broken for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it. To remember me. Come now, disturbing spirit of our God, breathe on these bodily things and make us one body in Christ. Open our graves, unbind our eyes, and name us here. Touch and heal all that has been buried in us, that we need not cling to our pain, but may go forth with power to release resurrection in the world. The gifts of God for the people of God, come, eat and drink. We do not leave this table without remembering our sisters and brothers who will celebrate this day in successive waves around this world. May they know the joy of Eastertide. May they know freedom. May they know hope. So may it be. Amen. This Eastertide, we embrace the spirituality of life as shown to us that first Easter and lived out through centuries since. We take with us this day the sure knowledge of life within and love surrounding us each moment of every day.